And welcome, everybody, to an emergency broadcast of Bangers and Classics podcast, which we've cobbled together with me, James Ruppert, and him, David Malloy. So, David, what's the emergency?
What's the emergency? Well, neither of us had much time this week to do a proper podcast. We don't even have a script for this one. Description. No, we have no ideas. There's nothing. There's no set banger or classic. There's no Danger Mobile. Absolutely nothing. We're just going to completely busk this.
Oh, really? Actually, that sounds quite normal for me because I don't pay any attention to everything that you send me. You go to all that bother, David, and I let the side down. So
you say everything, you mean anything, Shirley James. Now, let's just get a sense of reality going here. So, yes, I suppose we can do some car spots, start off with, as we always do. Yeah. We never think about that one in advance. I can't remember half the stuff I saw. I think I mentioned last week I'd seen a Morgan Plus 8. I probably did. So in that case, my only spot of note this week that I can recall was a Smart Roadster Coupe, which was in the car park at a sort of big box shopping centre. Much prefer those to the Roadster. I think they're much better looking. Yeah. But you know, when you see them in isolation, they don't look so small. But when you see them actually with other cars as reference points, they don't have to look tiny. Though I have been in one before. I have fitted into one. And I liked it too. I actually did. I nearly bought it.
All right.
Then I thought, I might look a bit silly. Well, more silly than usual. But that was it, James. That was the only car I can recall. No, tell a lie, I did see an MG, was it a ZT? Remember I saw the Woofer 75 a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah.
Well, I saw an equally nice MG ZT, only a couple of miles from where I saw the 75. So there's at least one in this area, and it's been very well looked after too. They must have some sort of following here, maybe a cult following, but whoever owns them certainly looks after them very well indeed. And my hat is tipped them for that. What about you?
Well, I've actually been on the road, David. And actually, after speaking to you, there's will be more hitting the road in my old car. So I've seen an absolute shed load. So I might have to hold over some because some have been so exciting. But actually, what I saw, a very interesting banger, was a Ford Orion Ghia on a J-plate, which was very well looked after. And the thing was, which you never notice, is rear wash wipe. It had a factory rear wash wipe. Mm-hmm. And that was the thing that took me as I was driving behind it, in that there it was in the middle of the screen. And it meant that the brake light, there was a raised brake light that was offset in order to accommodate the wash wipe that obviously went through the rear window. But this is a saloon, people, as well, just in case you don't realise. And so it was a completely bizarre thing. I don't think it was part of the gear spec. It could have been, which I need to look up. But there it was, a very well-used, a daily-driven Orion. Didn't seem to be very much rust on it at all. So that I quite liked. That's is that a banger or a classic? It's a generation of Fords which isn't best appreciated. People either love them or loathe them. So that was fun. But the amazing car that I saw that went past me very slowly was a Princess 4-litre. And again, it was a really well used one, and it was running on row styles that I've never seen a 4-litre be on. I know the 4-litre quite well because actually our next door neighbour had a 4-litre back in the 1960s. So that was quite an interesting car to look at from time to time. But this one, it was obviously used to tow a caravan because there was a massive tow bar on it. It made a lovely Rolls-Royce-y sound as it went past. Which is basically to say that it was rather like that, because that was the Rolls-Royce engine that was used in the Austin Champ. So it wasn't a particularly sophisticated engine, but this one had obviously done a lot of towing. And there were two happy people on board and a dog that looked at me as it went past. It was a bit like it was driving. There you go. I think they dropped it off at the caravan park, the old caravan, and driven into town in their Princess 4-litre. Mm. But there you go. They were in the coolest Princess 4-litre that I've ever seen. But there's just tons of stuff. I saw a Beetle broken down by the side of the road with two lads on it. Couldn't stop because it was on the opposite side of the road. There's Armco in the middle of the road, so I couldn't do anything. But they didn't seem distressed. I think they'd fixed something, or thought they'd fixed something and broken down. And then yesterday, I'll just give you one. I found Herbie, David. I found another Beetle because it had 53 written on it. It was actually an off-right Beetle parked up, and it had 53 on it. So if anybody wondered where Herbie had got to, because obviously he went through that phase where, you know, the drink and drugs got Herbie, but I think he's back on the right track now. And there he was parked by the side of the road. So it was quite interesting to see, you know, he waved his doors at me and flashed his lights. And so that was a very nice end to yesterday. So, I've seen a variety of stuff. There is more stuff when I can shake it out of my head, but I'll do that on one of our proper pods.
Right. I mean, are you saying that Herbie, his wheels came off him, or that he had a bit of a blowout? Is that maybe the problem?
Something like that. Yeah, I think after his film career dipped, I think he, like a lot of older actors, they're not quite sure what to do next. They've got a lot of money, and I think he ended up in a not very salubrious part of Norwich, which is where I saw him yesterday. So I was going to an industrial estate, but there you go. Someone had bothered to put 53 on his door. And so that was quite fun.
Yeah. I mean, perhaps he just followed the example of the Triumph Stag and was letting off some steam.
Well, you say that, David, but there isn't much steam to let off, is there, in an air-cooled car? But who knows?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it's Herbie. I mean, is who it? Knows? Well, how's he powered? We don't know.
We don't know.
We don't. It doesn't run any fuel I've ever known.
No.
Well, possibly beer, but, you know, in which case, obviously, he's a good chap. So just going back to the Princess 4-litre.
Yes.
Did the dog wave regally to you, James?
Well, it gave me a nod, David. It obviously knew that I was a classic car fan. I think it would have looked at any of us who appreciate this podcast, and he just seemed very, very happy. He just thought, well, this is I'm in my place in life. It looked like a boxer to me. He was a boxer dog.
Right.
So, he seemed quite happy with his. With his owners and his Princess 4-litre.
Right, so he was a nodding dog then initially.
Pretty much.
Yeah, and now you're saying he was a boxer. I mean, did he have gloves on or something?
Yeah, he did. Absolutely.
Ah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Okay. Yeah, and just obviously going back to the Orion, that's the second one we've seen in the month. I saw one about a month ago, if you recall. Yeah. So a bit of a resurgence for the Orion.
Well, there is, yeah. I mean, people are holding on to them. So good for them.
Absolutely. Good luck to you. That's what we say here. So I guess that's the car spot is done. Anything else we can think of for the first segment of the podcast, James? We normally do banger or classic, but we don't actually have one. We could just do one just purely without any research whatsoever.
Well, what I could do, David, I've got Ruppert's Bangerpedia here. There you go. I've obviously got someone calling me to tell me not to do this.
No, it's not. It's the Jaguar Enthusiast Club again.
It's them again,
yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
So what I could do, I could actually flick through this, and wherever it stops, you could say, well, that is a banger or it isn't a banger. So it's a banger or not, because I don't think there's going to be many classics in this, because this is 2000 to 2010, which is maybe a tiny bit too contemporary, but I don't know.
Fire away. Yeah.
Right, I'll flick towards the back because there's more interesting cars at the back. And, I've landed on, this is fascinating stuff, Mazda RX-8. Have we done that?
No, we haven't done the RX-8. No, with the suicide doors.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's the car you'd be mad to buy, isn't it, basically?
Well, you have to be very wealthy to buy one, with fuel prices being what they are and it being a thirsty car. However, interesting car. The last two are for the motorway engine, at least in the car at the moment, and obviously the successor to the RX-7. It's very smooth, very good to drive, but drank fuel like it was going out of business, and that was the problem. I'm going to call it a classic, actually. I say it's not a banger. Yeah, because it was a well-resolved car, almost every respect except for the engine's thirst. And, of course, the emissions was the other thing on the rotary. It was never going to be as environmentally friendly as the conventional piston engine, unfortunately.
No.
But, yes, just talking about Jaguars, I see that Mr. Corrugated agreed with me about the E-Type. So thank you for that, Matthew.
Well, I don't know. You know, I presume you, you know, you post him those checks that he's after, but because I don't do it from my end.
I've just signed him in your name, James, so that's okay.
Oh, right. Yeah, oh, okay.
Thanks for the yacht, James, by the way. That's really nice of you. Very kind of you indeed. Yeah.
But yeah, the RX8, yeah, I'll go along with you that it probably is a classic, although it's been a banger for quite some time. There was one on sale near to me for, and it was at a dealer, and it was £600, and you just know that would be a world of pain. They had it for absolutely ages. I think they probably threw it away in the end because I don't think anybody wanted it, but you just think to yourself, yeah, that would have... possibly led to bankruptcy, I suppose. But yeah, interesting, very interesting engine, which technically was only a 1.3 litre because it was a rotary one. But lots of specification with it. And maybe it's one of those where we should find someone cleverer than us to take that engine out and put another engine in. I don't know, just to make it more functional.
I suppose we're getting away from the point of the car then, really.
Yes, so we are.
Because it's no longer going to be smooth.
No.
You know, you're just not going to get his engine as smooth as that rotary. It's just, you cannot change the laws of physics, Captain.
No.
Apparently. So anyway, I don't believe that, but there you go. Yeah. Anyway, we'll take a quick break here and we'll come back with more completely unscripted and off-the-cuff nonsense in a couple of seconds. You're listening to Bangers and Classics, the motoring podcast that rushes in where Anglia's fear to tread. And remarkably enough, we're back. So, James, should we do another banger or classic? Pick one and let's see if we can do one completely off the cuff.
Well, we could do, because, I mean, it's spring. It's summer, David, isn't it, really? And with summer in mind, we should be taking our tops off. And I would think a Renault Megane Cabriolet, the 1997 to 2003 one. Would you say that's a banger or a classic? Banger. You love those Frenches, those French cars.
That's the one with the metal. That's the one with the metal roof, isn't it?
No, it's a fabric roof. No, I think you got the CC was from 2003, which is the differently designed one. So no, this one is a bit more classic than the other one.
Nah, still a banger.
Is it? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't like them again. The first series again. No.
Oh, right.
Replaced the 19. And, you know, I've actually loved a 1916 valve, and there actually was a Cabrio version of it, which I thought looked a lot better than the Megane Cabrio.
Yeah.
I just didn't fancy it. It did what it said on the tin. You got a fabric roof, you could fold it away, you could hold four or five people, and you could waft around.
Yeah.
Fine, but it didn't really float my boat.
No.
No.
I think it sold quite well, though. I think it did quite well for them.
Well, I mean... It probably did. It was up against the Peugeot 306 Cabriolet.
Yeah.
It would have been, and I've reported in this podcast, I've seen one around my hometown a couple of times. Very nice one. I'm not a big fan of 306's styling. It tries to be a big 205 and doesn't really work. However, the Cabriolet does actually look quite nice. And certainly it looks better than the Megane Cabriolet. So yeah, I would, if we were talking about the 306 Cabriolet versus the Megane Cabriolet, I would go for the 306, I have to say.
Okay.
Even though, if it had been a 19 Cabriolet, a 16 valve Cabriolet, no contest, it would win every time. What do you make of it, though?
Well, yeah, I think it's okay. I mean, that generation of Megane had its problems. I believe it's quite difficult to repair the clutch on those, and there's things like coil packs and flywheel sensors and things. And I think they're quite sensitive to cam belt changes and stuff. So I knew someone who had that era Megane, and they always seemed to be having the cam belt changed every time I spoke to him. I actually think the styling's not half bad. It looks sort of quite interesting now compared to modern cars.
That's a given. Yeah, I'll give you that.
Yeah, I quite like the look of it. But I think you're probably right. It's still a banger, and then it'll hit the bottom. When there'll be only three left, and you'll tell me there's just three left, James, and we should talk about it being an endangered species, and then we'll go, oh, no, I think it's a classic.
It probably is an endangered species already.
Sorry? It probably is. It probably is, yeah.
Well, when was the last time you saw one?
Never.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time I saw it of that era, whether it's the Saloon or the Cabriolet.
Yeah.
I cannot remember. It's so long ago. It's something I would have noted. So, yeah, we can say it's an endangered species, so perhaps you had better ignore what I've just said and go and buy one.
Right, okay. Well, we'll go and do that then.
Yeah.
After we finish this podcast.
Yeah. I mean, it's natural for you just to ignore what I say, James, so you really should go and buy one.
Right? Oh, I don't know about that.
It's possibly, right, yes. Boas, if you're looking for relatively inexpensive, I imagine they are still relatively inexpensive, some are cabriolet fun, as long as it's sound underneath, yeah, why not?
Well, that's right, I do endorse that message. I think everybody who listens to this should go out and buy one.
We really didn't have any time to come up with material for this week's podcast for one reason or another. James was doing all sorts of things in connection with Autocar Awards and so on and so forth. And yours truly had an exam, amongst other things to deal with. However, we took a couple of minutes break when we were recording this to come up with something. And this is what we came up with. And we decided we're going to remake Dracula AD 1972, but set it in 2022. So, in the original, Johnny Aquillard, you know the clues in the name, folks, drove a Triumph Stag. What do you think, James, he would drive in our remake? Because it's kind of important that we get this right.
Well, I don't know. I've been thinking about it, David, and possibly it should be a Chrysler PT Cruiser Cabriolet. What do you think of that?
Don't know if it was cool enough for Johnny. It's certainly quirky. PT Cruiser Cabriolet. Well, we'll think about that one. That's, you know, it's not completely ruled out, I think. I mean, it's got to be something hideously unreliable. So, yeah, it's going to be a really ridiculously unreliable convertible. Oh, with Jaguar XKA, it's not quite unreliable, James.
Well, I don't know. It depends, doesn't it? I know there's some people who listen to this might actually own one. I mean, the other thing is probably a hideously complicated Mercedes CL because they're cheap, but if they go wrong, they're going to give you all sorts of trouble.
Mm.
I suppose if you're going to go with a British car, it would have to be a Jaguar.
Yeah, I think we'll go with the XK. I don't know if they're unreliable or not. I don't want to talk out of turn about them. But they do have a vibe to them. And I think that would be a pretty good modern replacement for a Triumph Stag.
Yeah.
It might put me back in the sort of better books of the Jaguar Enthusiast Club as well.
Yeah.
Maybe. We'll see. Obviously, what we're doing, James, we're trying to save some money here on, you know, the scenes with pitchforks and burning torches. I'm just going to film the Jaguar Enthusiast Club outside my house.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that.
An interesting week in EV fun. We'll just conclude with that, I think, James.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
There may be some footage from EV or coming up soon.
Look forward to seeing that, Dave.
Yeah, if you watch the Twitter page, it won't be this week, probably won't be next, but certainly sometime in May, there will be something from the EV. And I think it's going to be worth seeing.
Yeah.
I hope so. Yeah, I hope so anyway. But there we go. Anyway, on that note, we'll call it a day for this week. We'll hopefully be back with a better prepared broadcast next week, but never well prepared, let's be honest, because we don't do that kind of thing. It's not how we roll. We just turn up and talk rubbish for however long it is and then go off and do much the same elsewhere in the rest of our lives.
Exactly.
So anyway, thank you for listening. Do tune in next week if you can. And in the meantime, take care of yourselves.
Yeah, thanks for turning up, everybody. I hope it wasn't too disappointing.
Oh, James, you know, we set ourselves very low standards and we consistently fail to attain them.
Yeah, absolutely.
So with that note, cheerio, folks.
Bye-bye.